Mediation form made for peace, it's Sid. Form of teaching and consolation. When used by the gods, it became instead form of lies and desolation.
From the Listener Song of Listing, 33rd stanza.
Shallan closed Bluth's eyes, not looking at the ripped-out hole in his torso, the bloody entrails. Around her, workers salvaged what they could from the camp. Vatha executed the bandits one by one. Shallan didn't stop him. He did the duty grimly, and as he walked past, he didn't look at her.
He's thinking these bandits could have easily been him and his men.
Shallan looked back down at Bluth, his dead face lit by fires.
What separates the heroes from the villains? One speech in the night?
Bluth wasn't the only casualty of the assault. Vatha had lost 7 soldiers. They had killed over twice that many bandits. Exhausted, Shallan rose, but hesitated as she saw something poking out of Bluth's jacket. She leaned down and pushed the jacket open. There, stuffed in his pocket, was her picture of him. The one that depicted him not as he was, but as she imagined he might once have been. A soldier in an army in a crisp uniform. Eyes forward rather than looking down all the time. A hero.
When did he take it from my sketchbook?
She slipped it free and folded it, flattening the wrinkles.
I was wrong. You were a fine way to restart my collection, Bluth. Fight well for the Almighty in your sleep, bold one.
She rose and looked over the camp. Several of the caravan's parshmen pulled corpses to the fires for burning. Shallan's intervention had rescued the merchants, but not without heavy losses. She hadn't counted, but the toll looked high. Dozens dead, including most of the caravan's guards, among them the Iriali man from earlier in the night. In her fatigue, Shallan wanted to crawl into her wagon and curl up for sleep. Instead, she went looking for the caravan leaders. The haggard, blood-stained scout from before stood beside a travel table where she was talking to an older, bearded man in a felt cap. His eyes were blue, and he moved his fingers through his beard as he looked over a list the woman had brought him. Both looked up as Shallan approached. The woman rested a hand on her sword. The man continued to stroke his beard. Nearby, caravan workers sorted through the contents of a wagon that had toppled over, spilling bales of cloth.
And here is our savior. Brightness, the winds themselves cannot speak of your majesty or the wonder of your timely arrival.
Shallan didn't feel majestic. She felt tired, sore, and grungy. Her bare feet, hidden by the bottom of her skirts, had started to ache again, and her ability to light weave was expended. Her dress looked almost as bad as a pauper's, and her hair, though braided, was an absolute mess.
You are the caravan owner?
Makob is my name.
She couldn't place the accent, not Thalen or Alephi.
You have met my associate, Tin. She is head of our guards. Both her soldiers and my goods have dwindled from tonight's encounters.
Tin folded her arms. She still wore her tan coat, and in the light of Makob's spears, Shallan could see that it was of fine leather. What to make of a woman who dressed like a soldier and wore a sword at her waist?
I've been telling Makob of your offer. Earlier on the hill?
Offer, she calls it. My associate is under the impression that it was really a threat. These mercenaries obviously work for you. We are wondering what your intention is for this caravan.
The mercenaries didn't work for me before, but they do now. It took a little persuasion.
That must have been some mighty fine persuasion, Brightness.
Shallan Devar, all I ask of you is what I said to Tin before. Accompany me to the Shattered Plains.
Surely your soldiers can do that. You don't need our assistance.
I want you here to remind the soldiers what they've done.
They are soldiers. They have no idea how to properly convey a light-eyed woman in comfort. You, however, have nice wagons and goods aplenty. If you can't tell from my humble aspect, I am in dreadful need of a little luxury. I'd rather not arrive at the Shattered Plains looking like a vagabond.
We could use her soldiers. My own force is reduced to a handful.
Then we shall make an accord. And my gratitude for my life, I shall see you cared for with new apparel and fine foodstuffs for the duration of our travels together. You and your men will ensure our safety the rest of the way, and then we will part. Nothing more owed to one another.
Agreed. I shall allow you to join me, your caravan, unto mine.
Your caravan?
Yes.
And your authority, then, I assume.
You expected otherwise?
No, I suppose not. I suppose not.
He waved toward a pair of people off at the side of the wagons, Tlakov and Tag.
And what of those?
They are mine. I will deal with them.
Just keep them at the back of the caravan, if you will. Grimy business. I'd rather not our caravan stink of those wares. Either way, you'd best be about gathering your people. There will be a high storm soon. With our lost wagons, we have no extra shelter.
Shallan left them and made her way across the valley, trying to ignore the mingled stench of blood and char. A shape split from the darkness, moving in beside her. Thatha didn't look any less intimidating in the better light here.
Well?
Some of my men are dead.
They died doing a very good work. And the families of these who lived will bless them for their sacrifice.
Thatha took her arm, pulling her to a stop. His grip was firm, even painful.
You don't look like you did before. Did my eyes mistake me? I saw a queen in the darkness. Now I see a child.
Perhaps you saw what your conscience needed to see.
My men have done worse things than this. Out in the wilderness, we took. We killed. You think one night absolves us? You think one night will stop the nightmares?
Shallan felt a hollowness in her stomach.
If we go with you to the Shattered Plains, we're dead men. We'll be hanged the moment we return.
My word.
Your word means nothing, woman.
You should let her go.
Thatha spun, looking about, but they weren't near anyone in particular. Shallan spotted pattern on the back of Vatha's uniform as he turned.
Who said that?
I heard nothing.
You should let her go.
Vatha looked around again, then back at Shallan, who met his gaze with a level stare. She even forced out a smile. He let go of her and wiped his hand on his trousers, then retreated. Pattern slipped down his back and leg onto the ground, then skimmed toward Shallan.
That one will be trouble.
Is this a figure of speech?
No, I mean what I said.
Curious? Because I think he already is trouble.
True.
Shallan continued her way toward Tlakov, who sat on the seat of his wagon with hands clasped before him. He smiled toward Shallan as she arrived, though the expression seemed particularly thin on him today.
So, were you in on this from the start?
In on what?
Bluth's plan.
Please, do tell.
Obviously, he was in league with the deserters. That first night when he came running back to the camp, he had met with them and promised to let them take us if he could share in the wealth. That was why they did not immediately kill you two when you went to speak with them.
Oh? And if that were the case, why did Bluth come back and warn us that night? Why did he flee with us instead of just letting his friends kill us right then?
Perhaps he only met with a few of them. Yes, they lit fires on that hillside in the night to make us think they were more. Then his friends went to gather a large crowd and... storms! That doesn't make any sense. But how? Why? We should be dead.
The Almighty preserved us.
Ah, the Almighty is a farce.
You should hope he is. For if he is not, then damnation itself awaits men like you.
Shallan inspected the slave cage. 5 slaves in grimy clothing huddled inside, each one looking alone, though they were crammed in close.
These are mine now.
What? You...
I saved your life, you oily little man. You will give me these slaves in payment. Dues in recompense for my soldiers protecting you and your worthless life.
This is robbery!
This is justice! If it bothers you, submit a grievance with the king in the Shattered Plains once we arrive.
I'm not going to the Shattered Plains. You have someone else to convey you now, Brightness. I'm heading south, as I originally intended.
Then you'll do so without these.
Shallan used her key, the one he had given her, to get into her wagon, to open the cage.
You will give me their writs of slavery. And the Stormfather help you if not everything is in order, Tlakov. I'm very good at spotting a forgery.
She had never seen a writ of slavery and wouldn't know how to tell if one was faked. She didn't care. She was tired, frustrated, and eager to be done with this night. One by one, five hesitant slaves stepped from the wagon, shaggy bearded and shirtless. Her trip with Tlokhev had not been pleasant, but it had been luxurious compared to what these men had been through. Several glanced at the darkness nearby as if eager.
You may run if you wish. I will not hunt you. I need servants, however, and I will pay you well. 6 fire marks a week if you agree to put 5 of them toward paying down your slave debt. 1 if you don't.
So, we take away the same amount either way. What kind of sense does that make?
The best kind. Tlokhov, you have 3 wagons, but only 2 drivers. Will you sell me the 3rd wagon?
Sell the wagon? Why not just steal it from me?
Stop being a child, Tlokhov. Do you want my money or not?
5 sapphire bromes. And it's a steal at that price. Don't you argue otherwise.
She didn't know if it was or not, but she could afford it with the spheres she had, even if most of them were done.
You can't have my parchment.
You can keep them.
Shallan would need to talk to the caravan master about shoes and clothing for her servants. As she walked off to see if she could use an extra chul of makabs, she passed a group of the caravan workers waiting to the side of one of the bonfires. The deserters threw the last body, one of their own, into the flames, then stepped back, wiping brows. One of the dark-eyed caravan women stepped up, holding out a sheet of paper to a former deserter. He took it, scratching at his beard. He was the shorter, one-eyed man who'd spoken during her speech. He held up the sheet to the others. It was a prayer made from familiar runes, but not one of mourning, as Shallan would have expected to see. It was a prayer of thanks. The former deserters gathered in front of the flames and looked at the prayer. Then they turned and looked outward, seeing, as if for the first time, the 2 dozen people standing there and watching, silent in the night. Some had tears on their cheeks, some held the hands of children. Shallan had not noticed the children before, but was not surprised to see them. Caravan workers would spend their lives traveling, and their families would travel with them. Shallan stopped just beyond the caravaneers, mostly hidden in the darkness. The deserters didn't seem to know how to react, surrounded by that constellation of thankful eyes and tearful appreciation. Finally, they burned the prayer. Shallan bowed her head as they did, as did most of those watching. She left them standing taller, watching the ashes of that prayer rise toward the Almighty.